Our gospel comes from the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, the Psalms, must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." Here ends the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Last week, we heard about Jesus appearing to his disciples post-resurrection. He had been dead and in the tomb for 3 days. There are rumors all over the place now that the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive and resurrected. And Jesus, in the following days of this, appears to his disciples in many different ways. In this particular chapter of Luke 24, there are three different appearances that are told in this chapter. Our particular gospel tells us about that third appearance. But the first appearance is the two disciples that are walking on the road to Emmaus. Have you heard that story? They're walking along, and all of a sudden, a stranger comes alongside them and joins them in conversation with one another. And as they're conversing, as they reach Emmaus, the disciples invite the stranger to stay with them and to eat with them. And as they are having their meal, Jesus repeats the words of institution like he did on the night before the crucifixion at the Last Supper. And in this, the disciples' eyes are opened and they recognize Jesus as the one who was with them in the Last Supper. They are so astonished they can hardly believe their eyes. And in the midst of their recognition, Jesus disappears. They are astounded and they're not sure what they even saw, but they know they need to tell somebody. So they run back to where all the rest of the disciples are to share this story. And once they get there, they hear from the other disciples that Jesus has now appeared to Simon Peter as well. So that's the second appearance in this particular chapter. And as they're standing in wonderment and amazement in this whole thing, Jesus appears to them as a body of disciples, to the whole community, and says to them, "Peace be with you." Very similar to the conversation that was happening in the Gospel of John last week. In the midst of their disbelief, he does everything he can to help convince them that he is flesh and bone. He has them reach out and touch them. He eats with them and shows them that he is not a ghost, but a living presence in their midst. These are the appearances that happen that allow faith in the disciples that they might be called to witness to what they're hearing to other people in the world. Now, the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke have many similarities. Jesus appears where they are, in their midst, in that upper room. And Jesus bids them peace. It is that peace that enables their faith. And as such, that peace opens their minds and allows them to believe what they're actually experiencing. And in believing then, they are enabled to become witnesses to this experience. Now in our gospel lesson today from Luke, Jesus opens their minds to the scripture as he's telling them, helping them reinterpret everything they thought they knew. So all of the lessons that they learned in confirmation in Jewish school, right? All those lessons that you think you know about your faith and your heritage and your tradition are now being asked to be reinterpreted through the reality of the cross and the resurrection. So everything changes. Everything changes for these disciples. They have to not only look at their past in a new way, but they are also being called then to look at what their future plans are and how that gets reframed in a way that takes in the experience of the resurrected Christ. Now, Jesus is not asking them to throw away everything that they learned from their Jewish heritage, all the experience, all the laws of Moses, all the words of the prophets and the Psalms and the wisdom literature. But the exact opposite is true. Jesus is asking them to bring that heritage with them, carry it with them as they use it to reinterpret how they step into life through the ongoing expansion of life and this new experience of the resurrection. How do we use our heritage to talk about all the promises that were made to God's people and how those promises are being fulfilled in the resurrection and the ongoing life that we are invited to live post-Easter? That's what Jesus is asking of these disciples, and it changes everything. So the questions that we asked last week from the Gospel of John about reframing our realities are still true. And the questions that Luke's disciples are now asking is, how do we reframe what we already know in order to speak to this experience of the resurrection? How do we participate with God, and how are we witnesses now to these things that we are currently experiencing? In Luke, the disciples are being called to the repentance and the forgiveness of sin, proclaiming that out into the world, reaching out to the entire community all around them. And repentance, in this sense, is the word metanoia, which literally means a turning, a fundamental change of heart, looking at the world in a completely new way, and using that new interpretation to help you to change how you greet other people in the world, greeting them in God's love. I particularly like how the Greek Orthodox describe this. They say, metanoia denotes a change of mind, a reorientation, a fundamental transformation of outlook of the human vision of the world and of themselves, and a new way of loving others and God. This is what repentance means. Turning around, changing your whole way of thinking and believing the good news. Letting this good news of the resurrection be the thing that leads us into life. So when we are called to this proclamation ourselves as witnesses to this resurrection reality, we are called to gather in conversation and reframe our own realities, everything we thought we knew, in light of this new experience. This means that death itself needs to be reimagined. If Jesus has risen from the dead and conquered death, then death no longer is the final word and no longer is the thing that drives us through fear to act in our life. But rather, death becomes the catalyst, the transformative catalyst, to lead us further into life in a new way, in a way that leads us to God's love, God's forgiveness, and frees us into following the unselfish love of God into the world, leading from our joy instead of our fears. That is what Easter living is all about. And that is what we are being called just like the disciples, to step into the world and proclaim to others as witnesses to these things. So how might we actually live into these things? How do we practice an Easter living? Our scriptures today give us some examples of how Jesus literally embodies this type of Easter living, how lives have changed and been reframed in living in new ways. Some examples that he gives us is that as he meets with the disciples, he meets them where they are. Jesus does not stay in the tomb and sit upright and receive guests as they come in through the door wondering what's happening. Instead, Jesus goes out into the world and meets God's people where they are. That is key to Easter living. He walks up alongside the two disciples that are walking to Emmaus. He joins them in their meals together as they come together in the upper room. And he joins Peter where he is in his fear and in his disbelief. Meeting God's people where they are is what we are being called to do in our Easter living. And that can take on so many different forms for us individually and as a faith community. But that's what we're being asked to do. We can do that by making quilts and providing warmth for people in transition. We do it at our food pantries. We do it as we care for one another, visit the sick and the poor, and take care of the widow and the orphan. All those things that we have been called to do from our tradition, reinterpreted through the cross and the resurrection, means we take that faith and witness to it out in the world, meeting God's people where they are. Another embodiment of Christ in this resurrection faith is that we continue to welcome the stranger. The two disciples who are walking to Emmaus have no idea that they're speaking to the risen Christ as they travel their way. And yet they invite him to dinner, to be with them. And in that hospitality, and welcoming the stranger as guests, Jesus reveals to them who they are and who he is and how life will change as they move forward as witnesses to this experience. We are also being called in our Easter faith to welcome the stranger as guests in our midst, opening our hearts and our minds to all that we might come together and discover together what the love of God enables all of us to do as a community with one another. As Jesus walks together with the disciples, he is in conversation with them. This word that Luke uses in this text is called homilein. It's where we get the word homily from when we tell stories. And it literally means to be in conversation with one another, to talk to or with. Jesus' Easter living is a continued conversation with the disciples about how God works in the world and how they might participate with God in that activity. Our Easter living is called to do the exact same thing, to gather in conversation and think about all the things we thought we knew, all the things we hope for in our futures, and discern together what God is already doing in the world and how we participate in that as a community of faith and as believers and witnesses to this resurrection life. These three things, meeting people where they are, welcoming the stranger as guests, and being in conversation and discernment with one another about how God works and how we might participate with them, is what we are being called to do as our Easter living. So how does this change our current reality? What are we being called to speak to in our time through this resurrection experience How is Jesus' resurrection becoming a reality for us in this time and place? Our realities have been dominated by COVID-19 over this past year. So what does the resurrection speak to us about how we reinterpret how we are a community with one another and what that means to be together in God's love in the midst of the pandemic and the post-pandemic? As we begin our vaccines and lifting some of our social distancing rules, how does that change who we are? What normals do we return to, and which normals do we not want to return to? How do we come in conversation with one another and discern what that looks like for us as a community of faith? That's going to take on so many different forms. But the key to this that we've learned from our lesson today is to come together in conversation, discerning with one another how our view of reality has changed in this pandemic, how our view of the resurrection changes what we believe we are being called to be about in our community, and how we might flesh that out in our ministries together with one another. Dr. Lucy Lynn Hogan is a professor at Wesleyan Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., and she talks specifically about how do we begin to live into this new resurrection reality, both individually and as faith communities. For her, she says, the number one thing is to join together in worship. This is where we start the conversation. She says, it is here where we are able to enter this story. We come with our doubts, our confusions, our fears, and our misunderstandings. Each week through worship, we encounter the risen Christ. This is where Christ is appearing to us. This is where we are. Not only here, but everywhere where we are. In worship, we encounter the risen Christ. And in reciting the scriptures and the preached word, we are offered explanation, proclaiming the good news of what God has done and is continuing to do. We eat with Christ, breaking the bread of the resurrection in our Eucharist. And the Spirit brings enlightenment, opening our hearts and our minds and setting our hearts afire. For Luke, it meant rekindling the hearts of the disciples. But our hearts and minds are setting our set afire in coming together to share the words of the scripture with one another, helping that reinterpret what it is we do as ministry. And finally, the exit should be ours, she says, for Christ has sent us into the entire world to be witnesses to this amazing news. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Everything in our life, including our death, has been transformed and is now a catalyst for what it means to come alive in fire in the world and be witnesses with each other to God's love. This is who we are called to be as a community of faith. And how we do that will take many different forms, each of us having different talents and resources to bring to the whole, to start new ministries, to rekindle old ministries, and to keep people excited about this news of Jesus in our midst as a resurrection reality. This is what Easter living is, and it starts with us, right here, coming together, sharing our fears, our hopes, our dreams, and most importantly, the love of God, which enables us to go out and be witnesses to these things for others.